This is TWiT.
The Chinese government continues to tighten internal security at a cost to many foreign companies, particularly Google. A chief technology officer of a startup in China tells the New York Times, under the condition of anonymity, that just using Google Drive in China has become a challenge for employees to share files and documents. Not only that, but Google used to have a third of China's market for internet searches. That was back in 2009. Today, that number's down to 10.9% after censors in the company began blocking more and more searches from reaching Google servers. Now, the company shut down servers in mainland China back in March 2010. That was to avoid online censorship, instead sending users to unfiltered results from its servers in Hong Kong. The rules are different there. The Chinese government then began blocking intermittently the Hong Kong servers as well. That's a practice that continues today. Google's App Store, Google Play, is only partially accessible in China. The list goes on. Now, all of this creates an impression with many Chinese users that Google doesn't have very strong services. The censors permit just a fraction of traffic to reach those servers in Hong Kong. Then many Chinese users reload their Google pages repeatedly in the hope of getting through. And unsurprisingly, China's state-controlled media is not doing all that much to set the record straight. Kind of a mess all around. All right, Apple bought Beats Music and Beats Electronics earlier this year for $3 billion. We remember that. Today, TechCrunch is reporting that the company plans to shut down Beats Music, although an Apple PR rep, Tom Neumeyer, tells Recode that that story isn't true. Recode speculates that Apple won't actually shutter the Beats streaming service, but might change the Beats Music brand, though it probably won't touch the Beats headphone service, which already has pretty strong name recognition. It should probably be called something besides Beats. Knowing Apple. Speaking of Apple, the company announced it sold more than 10 million iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus devices in its opening weekend, which is a new record for the company. The company's iPhone sales record is twice what it was in 2012, a million more than in 2013. In September of 2013, Apple said that it had sold 5 million iPhone 5 models 3 days after launch. That was 2012, rather. And then last year in 2013, with the iPhone 5S and iPhone 5C, the company sold 9 million in 3 days. However, more units sold plus more expensive units mean more money for Apple. But screw Apple. Let's talk about BlackBerry. The company plans to sell its new smartphone, the Passport, at a lower price than rival products in an attempt to regain some of its market share that it has really lost. BlackBerry CEO John Chen said in an interview today that the Passport will cost about $599 in the U.S. without subsidies when it goes on sale this Wednesday, although the initial launch is limited to London, Toronto, and Dubai. The handset has a 4.5-inch square screen and a physical keyboard that BlackBerry diehards will like and will be the first global launch of a device since the company's BlackBerry 10 phones launched last year to very little fanfare. Chen says that the phone's larger screen will appeal to users who need to be more productive on their phones, such as people working in the medical field, and that the battery will last 36 hours and a large antenna will benefit reception. Big old antenna. AT&T has teamed up with Samsung as the exclusive carrier to offer the Samsung Galaxy Alpha, which will go on sale on September 26th. The Galaxy Alpha has a 4.7-inch form factor with HD resolution, 2.5 gigahertz quad-core processor, 2 gigabytes of RAM, a 12-megapixel camera, and 32 gigabytes of internal storage. Good get, AT&T. Sony first announced the PlayStation Vita TV set-top box in Japan last year. It was even over a year ago. Today, the company is finally announcing that device for the U.S. market. It's priced at $99.99. The device streams video content and gives users access to play any PlayStation Vita game on their big screen TV. Or for a price of $139.99, you can get the PlayStation TV, a DualShock 3 controller, an 8-gigabyte memory card, a USB cable, because who doesn't need one of those, an HDMI cable, and the Lego Movie game. Sony says that nearly 700 games will be supported at launch in the U.S. and Canada on November 14th, and pre-orders are now open. Oculus showed off its new prototype called Crescent Bay over the weekend at the Oculus Connect conference. The Crescent Bay has a faster frame rate, 360-degree head tracking, and an integrated headphones. It's lighter than the previous prototype as well. It's getting better all the time. Oculus also announced the new Oculus platform, which is coming to the Samsung VR virtual reality, which brings VR to mobile apps, web browsers, and a VR content discovery channel, great for developers. The Crescent Bay is not not an official developer kit, but it's a feature prototype designed to show off the future of what the company is doing, which is similar to the pre-DK2 Crystal Cove prototype. The Crescent Bay probably won't ship to developers, but can prepare them for what Oculus puts into the DK3 category or that next developer kit, which VR makers will be able to buy.